Two. Good morning. Hey, it's good to be here. I always enjoy coming. I knew we were going to have good singing, but I don't know where he dug up that last M. You all knew it? I've been hanging the wrong places, I guess. Anyway, good morning. It is good to be here with you. Barb and I are glad to be with you. We are doing well. We're getting a little bit older. A few more aches and pains and a few more complications at doctor's visits. And my dad used to say, getting old is not for sissies. And I think that's true. Found that to be true. He also said if it wasn't for doctors, he wouldn't have a social life at all. But he's with the Lord now and has a good social life. I gave you an update on what's going on in the state and the country. These are perilous times. I don't know if people are quite aware how perilous a situation is right now, but there are a significant number of Iranians that came into the country during the last administration that we don't know where they are, or who they are, or why they're here. There are over 30,000 Chinese nationals that came into the country, and again, China is buying up land near military bases, etc., and we don't know what their motives are. China does not have an open door policy. You can't just leave the country. So this is a perilous time. The Bible tells us in the last days perilous times will come. Well, we're there. We're right where it is. You read that description, you find that's where it is. But that's not what I'm going to talk to you about this morning. What I want to talk to you about this morning is the Lord Jesus Christ. During this month, I've been thinking a lot about Christ and the fact that he is wonderful. So turn your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. This is usually a passage we think of at Christmas time. There's a lot of ways of preaching. And we're going to just take that word wonderful. His name should be called Wonderful. And we're just going to think about why he's wonderful. Carl Huerta was an evangelist and a good friend of mine. Grand Rapids Baptist Seminary offered free classes, plural, 4 hours. If you'd come on Monday, it was called Take Monday. And Carl and I would sit together along with Maynard Belt, who was another good friend. Carl is an evangelist. Carl was a small man. He had a club foot, or one leg was shorter than the other. So when he walked, he always did this kind of like that. It was always kind of awkward. And Carl had a great sense of humor. And sitting in class with Carl Huerta next to him was a mistake on my part, because he would get me laughing and, at inappropriate times. And the professor occasionally would have to tell us settle down, and that kind of thing. But Carl as an evangelist, had an interesting definition of revival. He said revival is God's people just falling in love with Jesus again. And I like that. So during this month, I've been focusing and thinking about how wonderful Jesus Christ is. So let's read the passage. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. That's the miracle of the incarnation. A son was born, but it was a son that was given. He's the God-man. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Father, bless your word now as we open it together. In Jesus' name, amen. What I'd like to do is just talk with you this morning about how wonderful Jesus Christ is. First of all, I note that he was wonderful in his birth. Has there ever been a story quite like the Christmas story? I mean, you have an angel appearing unto a virgin and saying she's going to have a child. 750 years before that announcement, a God had told through the prophet Isaiah, a king, God himself shall provide for you a sign. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Think about that, 750 years ahead of time. Now, modern translations sometimes take that word virgin and translate it young woman. That would not be much of a sign, would it, for a young woman to have a child? But a virgin birth had never happened before. It's not happening now. It's never going to happen in the future. This is a one-time event, and it is a sign we point back to and say, this is the one that was born. His name was called Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. Both his father and mother were told to call him that. What an amazing story, the birth of Christ. You have the angels announcing his birth to shepherds. Shepherds, hearing the news, decide they're going to go and see this thing which the Lord hath revealed unto us. And then when they saw him, they worshiped. And then went about and told everyone about this one that they saw that's the Messiah. The Messiah has come. He's been born in Bethlehem. A star appears in the east, and wise men see it and come looking for the one who is born King of the Jews. No one's born a king. Jesus was. Normally you're born as an heir, and when the king dies, then you become king if you're his son. But this was, he was born a king. Herod was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And Herod, when they asked Herod, where is he that's born King of the Jews? Herod turned to his counselors and said, where is he going to be born? And the answer came back just like that, Bethlehem. For thus saith the prophet Micah. They knew exactly where he was going to be born. One of the amazing things about the Christmas story is, although they were all troubled, it was only the wise men that went on to Bethlehem to find him. Why in the world didn't others go? It's just kind of incredible. And then being warned by an angel or a dream, the wise men departed, not going back to Herod. And then Joseph, being warned of God in a dream, took his son, his family, to Egypt, fulfilling the prophecy, I have called my son out of Egypt. One of the minor prophets said that. So again and again, what a wonderful story. But, you know, as I read the Bible, I discovered Jesus was not only wonderful at his birth, he was wonderful before his birth. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. All things are made by him and for him. He's the creator. Have you thought about how wonderful our world is? There's the wonder of sunrise and sunset. There's all these wonders of, you know, I just amazed at the beauty of a sunrise. Barb and I love sunrises. I don't think Barb's ever seen, our sunsets rather. I don't think Barb's ever seen a sunrise, but anyway, you'll get it later. You know, God just does that for us. There's no other reason to have all those colors. And no sunrise or sunset's exactly the same. And you could try and take a picture of it, but the pictures never really do it justice, do they? It's amazing how God created this world. I love this time of world as we're driving in spite of the snow. The trees are already starting to leaf out. And some of the flowering bushes are already popping. And then there's daffodils and others that are starting to pop out of the ground. This is when the world comes back to life. What an amazing world we have. God said, springtime and harvest will not cease. Genesis 8:22. So we look forward to summer and look forward to the beauty of the summer. What an amazing world we have. And our God created that. Colossians tell us all things were made by him. It reminds us they were made for him and by him. And by him all things consist. Did you realize our Lord holds everything together? If he were not holding things together, we'd all blow apart. Yet he does. He keeps his whole world under control. And this world, this God who is the creator and sustainer of the universe invites me to come and talk with him anytime I want. Always wonderful. He's wonderful in his life. Two aspects I'd like to point out to you. First of all, he's wonderful in his works. John the Baptist had two disciples, and he said he was in prison, and he said, go see, talk to Jesus and ask, are you really the one who is to come? Are you really the Messiah, in other words? And Jesus answered was, you tell John, the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed. His wonderful works. Would you like to have been there? There was an amusement park Bible Lands Experience in Orlando. It's closed now, so you can't go there. And they had little programs, little plays, I guess you'd call them, and skits somewhat. And they had pictures of a man portraying Jesus, and it's a scale model of Jerusalem. There's a part where it's in front of the temple, and there were other things there to see. But one of the things that was kind of amazing was to watch and see Jesus healing. And I know it was fake and fiction, but you know, I thought, why, what was it really like? I mean, wouldn't it be something to go to a funeral and Jesus brings the dead person back to life? Oh, wouldn't you like to see? I probably would be scared to death. When Lazarus dies, his sisters call for Jesus, but he's dying and you need to come. And he comes and they say, you're too late. If you had been here, Lord, he wouldn't have died. Jesus says, he that believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Do you believe? He went to the grave, tomb. The Bible says in the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. He didn't weep because Lazarus is dead. He knew what he was going to do. He wept because of the consequences of sin, which is death. And then he spoke the word, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus walked out of that grave. Man, oh man. What a Savior. What his works. Oh man. He healed the lepers. 10 men came to him one day, were lepers. And he said, go show yourself to the priest. And on their way, they were healed. And one man, the Samaritan, came back and gave thanks to God. Cleansed of a dreaded disease. Blind people that couldn't see suddenly are enabled to see. A lame man, he says, take up thy bed and walk. And he gets up and walks. What wonderful works. Jesus said, if you don't believe my words, believe for the work's sake. Years later, Paul would say to a king, these things were not done in secret. These things were all done openly. You know about this. This was something before the whole watching world. He performed miracle after miracle after miracle. 35 miracles are recorded in the Bible. But we have the phrase, he performed other miracles, or many were healed, so we have no idea how many people actually were touched through his ministry. But then there were his words. The temple guards were sent to arrest him one day. They showed up. Jesus was teaching. They came back empty-handed. The temple authority said, well, where is he? And they said, never a man spake like this man. He said some hard things. One day when he said some hard things, many of his disciples turned away from him and walked away. Jesus said to his disciples, will you leave me also? And Peter said, Lord, where would we go? You have the words of life. He did have the words of life. My favorite verse in the Bible is John 3:16. Did you know Jesus said that himself? Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus said that. Amen. Oh, man. He knew exactly what he was going to do. Wonderful in his life. As a 12-year-old boy, he goes to the temple with his family to worship. And they leave and somehow, you know, they mom thought he was with Stepdad thought he was with mom, or maybe they're with the cousins, but they get away from Jerusalem and discover he's not there. A little panic sets in. They come running back to Jerusalem. They find him in the temple, and he's communing with the elders, the rabbis of the day, and they're asking him questions, and they're amazed at his knowledge. And when they rebuke him, he said, didn't you know I must be about my Father's business? At 12 years old, he knew who he was and why he came. Did you know, for the birth of Christ, the incarnation, he had to leave heaven to come to earth and be born as a baby. I enjoyed, before the service, seeing these little kids all come in. They're all excited. Well, most of them are excited. Some of them were kind of hanging on to mom, but most of them are excited to go and see their friends. I saw kids hugging one another, and I had some say good morning to me, et cetera. I love, and you have so many kids here. It's a great thing. I hope you realize that a lot of churches don't have that. But I'm so thankful for this church for that. But Jesus had to be a baby. A baby. That means, you know, that away in a manger, no crying he makes. That's nonsense. He had to cry. He had to cry. He had to learn. Luke 2:52, he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. That's the four sides of education, by the way. Physical, mental, social, spiritual. That's why that cap at graduation, that funny looking square cap, that's what that represents. The spiritual is being forgotten today, but that's what it stands for. In any event, that means he had to learn how to talk. He had to learn how to walk. The creator of the universe had to learn how to walk, how to eat, how to use a spoon. Next time you have to ask your teenager for help with your computer and they make fun of you, remind them you taught them how to use a spoon. What an amazing thing. Out of heaven's ivory palaces into a world of sin and woe, he came willingly. He came and lived a righteous life. At the end of his life, his judge said, I find no fault in him. His heavenly Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. His betrayer said, I have betrayed innocent blood. His executioner said, truly, this was a righteous man. No sin in him. Wonderful in his life. Wonderful in his death. He didn't have to go to the cross. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Father, if this cup could pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. He willingly, knowing exactly what it would cost him, went to the cross. You ever have to go to the dentist and have a crown or filling drilled? Don't you hate that? I mean, I had an appointment one time at 7 o'clock in the morning on Monday. What a lousy way to start a week. You know? And you dread that, you know, little bit of pain. Think of Jesus realizing he's going to a cross. They're going to scourge him. They're going to nail him to the cross. They're going to lift him up where every breath is going to take tremendous exhaust, make him tremendously exhausted. They're going to plant a crown of thorns on his head so he's bleeding from his head. And any head wound, you know, you bleed a lot from your head. His visage is scarred more than any other man, Isaiah said. So you wouldn't even recognize him. I had a friend that was fixing a gas tank, and the gas tank exploded on him. I went to the hospital to see him, and his head looked like a basketball. I wouldn't have been able to recognize him at all. And that's what Isaiah said about Jesus. And on the cross, he said seven things. Each of those were important, but I'd like to point out two of them to you. One is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Isn't that amazing? Father, forgive them. He could have called 12 legions of angels. One angel in the Old Testament killed 185,000 men in one night. What could 12,000 angels have done? His mocker said, if you be the Christ, come off the cross. But he stayed. The Bible says, despising the shame, he died for us. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And then, during that time on the cross, 6 hours on the cross, at some point, the two thieves that were being crucified on either side of him that had been making fun of him, one of the thieves saw something in Jesus that the other thief apparently missed. And he rebukes the other thief, and then he says to the Lord, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus replied, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. In agony and pain, he had the time to win one person to Christ through his testimony, through his life. Wonderful in his life, wonderful in his death. They took him down from the cross after he died. He cried out, I'll give you one extra one, it is finished. That was not a cry of defeat, it was a cry of victory. It is finished. The payment for sin is complete. There's no more suffering for Jesus Christ. His suffering is now over. And then he gave up the ghost. They took him down from the cross. Joseph of Arimathea had a tomb and begged the body of Jesus. He and Nicodemus took him down from the cross and took him and laid him in that tomb. The disciples were scattered. John had been at the cross, but the others had fled. They were in hiding. They were afraid they were going to be arrested next. Their world was crushed. They had hoped he would be the Messiah. Now he's dead. 3 years of their life invested in this one who said he was the prophet, who gave us the promise of eternal life and a kingdom, but now he's gone, he's dead. What will we do now? Sunday night, they were gathered together in an upper room. There had been rumors during the day. Two had been on the road to Emmaus and came back, said, we have seen the Lord, he is risen. The woman had come and said, Mary said, we have seen him. Suddenly he's in the midst. And he says to them, peace be unto you. Oh, the payment of salvation was complete. He was wonderful in his resurrection. The grave could not hold him. All the forces of hell would have tried to keep him in that tomb. They could not. The soldiers guarding the tomb were struck and fell as though dead. An angel opened the tomb not to let Jesus out, but to let the world know he's not here, he is risen. 1970 for the first time, and then again 1980, I visited Israel. And that's an experience I hope you get to do as well. There is a garden tomb. I think it's the real thing. It's maintained by a Christian Reformed church, and they've set up a chapel that you can have a worship service, and you can actually walk down to the tomb. In 1970, we could actually walk inside the tomb, and we could actually see the slab where we believe Jesus lay. And you could almost hear the angel say, he is not here. He is risen. Even as he said, we serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I see his, hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. Wonderful in his resurrection. Wonderful in his ascension. 40 days he ministered to his disciples, and then on a mountain, Mount of Olives, he ascended into heaven, having given them a commission. A commission to go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the world, and tell them of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then he ascended into heaven, just lifted off. Again, wouldn't you like to have been there? I'd like to see that. I hope the Lord videotaped that. You know, I'd like to see that the expression on the disciples' faces. I mean, as he's going up, and then there's two angels standing by them, and says, "Ye men of Galilee, why you stand up? Why are you gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus who's coming back, went up from heaven, is coming back the same way." And when I read that for the first time, I thought, well, that's strange. If he's coming back, shouldn't we be watching? No, there's work to be done. He gave us a job to do. He's coming back and we're going to have to give an account. Wonderful in his ascension. Do you realize the ascension was his triumph over the devil and his angels? He was victorious. Victorious. Now he's wonderful in his intercession. Where is Jesus? Well, in one sense, he's omnipresent, he's everywhere. But in another sense, he is our advocate. Satan is our accuser. He stands before the throne of God, accusing us, making charges against us. And Jesus is there saying, "No, Father, this is one of mine. This is one of mine. My blood paid the penalty for his sin. He's one of ours. He's an advocate." Wonderful in his intercession. It'll be wonderful in his return. Someday, very soon, there's going to be a trump so loud it'll wake the dead. The dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the air, and so shall we ever meet the Lord. What a day that's going to be, huh? When I was in college, we had a student that was a hotshot evangelist. That's what he called himself, an evangelist. He had right on his Bible, evangelist. Just a student, but he had that. He was a bit of a con man and later got kicked out of college. But one night he preached in our church that I was a youth pastor of. Church was packed. We all wanted to hear him. We'd never heard him preach. And a lot of the students came and church was packed. And he preached on the rapture. And then he said, "I want every head bowed, eye closed, don't look up, no matter what." And they talked softer and softer and softer. With our heads bowed, he said, "Are you ready for the Lord's return?" With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, he pulled out a trumpet and blasted it. So help me, we all thought we were going up. One day, there's going to be a trump, and we are going up in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Oh, he'd be wonderful in his return, and then he's going to judge the earth, 7 years of tribulation. Then he's going to come to earth and set up his kingdom. Oh, it'll be wonderful in his kingdom. No more sickness, no more sorrow, no more suffering, no more separation. We're going to be with our loved ones forever and ever and ever. Lately, I've been making a list of people I'd like to visit in heaven. I know it's a strange idea, but I thought, you know, if I'm going on vacation, I'm going to go somewhere. I kind of do some research to find out what I could do there. So since I'm going to heaven someday, I want to have some plans. I'd like to talk to the Apostle Paul. It's going to be a long line, but hey, we got eternity. I'd like to talk to my grandparents that were saved before I was born. My grandfather was a Catholic, and my mom had been saved, and they heard that George Bernard was going to be at First Baptist Church in Bay City preaching in evangelistic meetings. My grandfather said, "I like that hymn, Old Rugged Cross." He was the author. He said, I'd like to meet somebody that wrote a hymn, went there and was saved. They died 2 years before my birth. I heard about them all my life. I'd like to meet them. There's friends that have gone on. One of the things about getting older is your friends start dying off. You know, I was talking to Bruce Craig yesterday, and we started talking about guys that had died. That could be kind of depressing, except I reminded him we're going to see him again. So it's going to be a reunion. What a time of rejoicing that'll be. Heaven. You probably heard about the second grade girl class, and the teacher was talking about heaven. And he said, "How many want to go to heaven?" Everybody raised their hand except one little girl. She said, well, honey, why don't you want to go to heaven? She said, well, I'd rather go to Disneyland. She didn't get it. Disneyland is not the happiest place on earth, folks. But I'm going to the happiest place in the universe. Amen. The universe. And we'll be with Jesus forever and ever and ever. Say, I wonder, do you know him? He is wonderful. I had a paper here and now I can't find it. He is wonderful. Wonderful. What's the best part of that? Well, a hymn writer said, and I agree, I was lost in sin, but Jesus rescued me. He's a wonderful Savior to me. I was bound by fear, but Jesus set me free. He's a wonderful Savior to me. He's a friend so true, so patient and kind. He's a wonderful Savior to me. Everything I need in him, I always find. Oh, he's a wonderful Savior to me. He is always near to comfort and cheer. He's a wonderful Savior to me. He forgives my sin. He dries my tears. He's a wonderful Savior to me. Dearer grows the love of Jesus day by day. He's a wonderful Savior to me. Sweeter is his grace while pressing on my way. Oh, he's a wonderful Savior to me. I wonder, do you know him? Do you know him? I don't mean you know about him. I want to know, do you know him? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? In every aspect, he is wonderful. The verse goes on to say he's a wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. He's all of those things. He is wonderful, but best of all, he's a wonderful Savior. If you do not know him as your Savior, today is your day of destiny. You could say yes to him and have the gift of eternal life. That thief in the cross didn't have a lengthy theological education. He hadn't gone to church. He was never baptized. He just simply said, Lord, remember me. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. If you're here without Christ, then today should be your day of saying yes to him. And then Christian, if he's a wonderful Savior, are you living for him? Is it possible that your love for God has grown cold? Revival is really falling in love with Jesus all over again. Sweeter, as the years go by, the hymn writer wrote, I love him better every day. Those are choruses. Isn't he wonderful, wonderful, Jesus, my Lord? All those things are true. He's a wonderful Savior. I've never met a person who accepted Christ as their Savior and regretted it in all my life. But I've seen lots of people have the joy of the Lord because they know a wonderful Savior. Father, thank you for your word. I pray that you'd bless the invitation now as it's given. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Brother Tom's talking about our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you don't know him, you know, most of the time we talk about things. People have these heroes that they think that they've never met, but they act like they know him. Jesus is somebody you can actually know. We talk with him, we pray, we ask, we seek him. We don't just read about him, we can know him. He can be your Savior. If you don't know him as your Savior, we're going to take a moment, we're going to sing. Maybe you've never been in church before, maybe you haven't been around a lot, but we're going to pray, we're going to stand, and we're going to sing. Some folks may come down to the altar. Some folks that are saved, they may need to come and say, Lord, I forgot how wonderful you are. Get reminded of how wonderful God is. You know what you find? You pale in comparison. He's so wonderful and you're so lousy. Pretty big Pretty big contrast. And you say, Lord, I don't know why I don't love you more than I should. I should love you more. I should love you more than I've ever loved you before. I know more about you. I've been spoiled reading a Bible and saved and going to heaven. You're wonderful. Just come down here and just thank him for being wonderful. You may see some of that. If you're in here, you don't know Jesus as your Savior. You can come. We'll take a Bible. We'll answer your questions. We'll show you how you can know your sins are forgiven forever. That's a promise. God promises you can know your sins are forgiven and that heaven is yours forever. Not just a hope, not maybe, not might, not well, you know, if I'm good enough. The Bible's clear. You can know your sins are forgiven. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You can know. Most people say, I don't know, I hope so. I don't hope so, I know. But not because I'm good, because I have a wonderful Savior. He wants to be your Savior. And if you'd come, we'll go ahead and open a Bible and show you how you can know. Give you a chance to pray and ask Jesus to be your Savior. Christian, you got a wonderful Savior. We got the best deal in all the universe. Free gift of eternal life handed to us, and we got a Savior we should love more than ever. I hope you love him today. Let's go ahead and stand. Father, bless your word even now. If someone here doesn't know Christ, I pray they'd come. Have the courage to step out and say, I don't know about this salvation. I don't know about heaven. I don't know if I'm going. That we could open up a Bible and show them how they can know. And that they'd have the courage to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Father, for those of us who are saved, I thank you for the wonder of a Savior. The wonder that we can know. You're so wonderful, it's hard to even express the greatness of a God who loved us and gave himself for us. Father, bless the invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen, Brother Andrew.